I mean, that is their delight. That is what they delight in. The Lord looked some right in the face one day, and he's the only one who could do that, and said, "Ye are of your father the devil, and his lust ye will do." And they said, "Don't we say, well, that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil?" He says, "I have not a devil." He says, "I'm telling the truth, and you believe me not. I honor my father, and you dishonor me." And he said, "If I tell you the truth, why don't you believe me? And if you don't believe me, even after I've told you the truth," he said, "it's because the love of God is not in you." And he said, the children of God, they said they were the children of Abraham. And they said they were the seed of Abraham. He said, "I know you're the seed of Abraham, but if you were the children of Abraham," he went from seed to children. "If you were the children of Abraham, you'd do the works of Abraham." He said, "You go about to kill me." He said, "Abraham did not this. But Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness." Abraham was the father of the faithful among the Gentiles and the Jews. And he said, "You go about to kill me." He says, "If you were of God, you would hear God's words. And you hear them not because you are not of God." Now that's pretty plain, beloved. But being that he was the Son of God, he could say that because he could look right in the heart. And I can't do that, and I wouldn't dare say that to somebody. But the Lord Jesus Christ can do it. And he looked right at them and said it. And so he took comfort from his perfect faith that he was a perfect example of. And he said, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And all that the Father giveth me, I shall raise up again at the last day. All that come to me, I would in no wise cast out." It looked like, you know, on the surface that they said many turned and walked with him no more, turned aside. Looked like he was a total failure, but he wasn't, was he? And the prophet Isaiah said that he would not fail and that he would not be discouraged. And though that these people opposed him and went about to kill him, and tried to kill him many times before his hour come, but yet he went about his way until his mission was fulfilled. And when his hour was come, he said, "This is your hour. This is the hour of darkness. This is your hour." And he submitted to them, and they crucified him. But they only did the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God when they did that, because he came into the world for that very purpose. And so the Apostle Paul said that he was called, he was converted, he was given faith and love, and sent to the Gentiles that they might be obedient to the faith among all nations for his namesake, among whom also are ye the called of Jesus Christ. Now I want you to, we're talking about the gospel here. We're going to prove it right here by the scriptures. He says, "Among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ." This calling is an irresistible calling. This is a calling by the voice of God. Jesus Christ said, "The hour is coming, now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." He says, "I am the good shepherd. I give my life for the sheep. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish." He says, "They know my voice, and I know them." And he speaks. He says, "No man knoweth the Father but the Son, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, and he to whomsoever he will reveal him. As the Father hath power to give life to whom he will, the Son hath power to give life to whom he will." And so here we have the Jehovah God. We have the triune God, Jehovah the Father, Jehovah the Son, Jehovah the Holy Ghost. And all three of them have power to give life. All three of them have power to save. And sometimes it's relegated to the Father. Sometimes it's spoken of as being done with the Son. And sometimes by the Holy Ghost, because all three of them have said to have a specific work in it. The Father sent the Son redeemed, and the Spirit quickeneth and maketh alive. And so salvation is of the Lord, that is Jehovah God. Salvation is of the Lord. And he says, "It's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy." And so when you're running, when you're working and running, for salvation. It is to no avail. When you will, it is not of him that willeth. You cannot sit down and will to become a child of God. You cannot will to become an angel. You cannot will to add one cubit to your height. You might put on some false bottom shoes, but it's false. You're not adding a cubit to your height, have you? And the Ethiopian, by taking thought, cannot change his skin, and the leopard cannot change his spots by taking thought. But yet men will tell you all day long that if you'll take a thought, that if you'll accept, if you'll do so and so, you'll become the child of God. Well, beloved, it's just not in the Scriptures. By taking thought, man cannot change his natural state. He must be born again. And so then, the call, you must be called. And so it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but it is him that calleth. It is of him that showeth mercy. And the call of Jesus Christ, Apostle Paul says that they were called of Jesus Christ, not called by Apostle Paul, not called by the gospel. Right here, next statement refers to that. And among whom are you also the called of Jesus Christ, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. Now we get into the gospel. Called to be saints. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when the Apostle Paul, first time he went to Corinth, I believe it was, he had been beaten and he had been stoned in Ephesus, and he had been everywhere he'd went, he'd been illy treated and chased out of the city and locked up in jail and whipped with lashes and what all. And so when he went there one time, no doubt he feared what might fall him, and the Lord appeared to him and said, fear not, Paul, for I have much people in this city. I have much people in this city. And so the Lord has a people in every tongue and every tribe and every nation on the face of the earth. That's what the Scriptures say. And out of every tongue and every tribe. And Apostle Paul was sent to these people and to preach the gospel and for the obedience of faith among the nations. And they are the called of Jesus Christ. And when they hear the Apostle Paul tell them about the gospel, they are called to be saints. A saint is a person that's been sanctified. And if you've been called by Jesus Christ, you've been sanctified by the God of heaven. And you're called to follow him. And in order to be a saint, in the sense here then, you're called to come out from among the world, to take up your cross and follow him, to take his name upon you publicly, confess him with your mouth, that you might be a witness of this marvelous grace that God has bestowed upon you. So the call of Jesus Christ, in every place, in many places down through the ages for the last 2,000 years, God has sent his apostles and his ministers and established churches by preaching the gospel. And he says they are called to be saints. They are sanctified. To be sanctified is to be set apart. Everything that was used in the tabernacle and the temple, every piece of furniture was said to be sanctified. It was holy, for it was in use serving the Lord. And God's people that are sanctified and set apart to be, take his name upon them are holy people. They've been set aside by God, and they are saints. And they still got a sinful nature, and they stumble and they fall and fail in many ways. Yet at the same time, there's a new man in there. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. He is a new creation. And the old sinful body is not done away with. And there's nothing good in the old sinful body. The Apostle Paul, who was an apostle, who had been caught up into paradise, he said, I know that in me, that is within my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. If anybody on earth could have ever said that we had a decent and a good body, surely he could have said so. But he said, I know that within me, that is within my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. That is, when he said flesh, he wasn't talking about his skin necessarily. He was talking about his human nature, his human condition, his sinful nature. The nature of man is under the law of sin and death. And the law of sin and death is working in your body. It's working in mine, beloved. It even works in my sleep sometimes. It's working, the law of sin and death. And sometimes it makes me tremble, the thoughts that come in my mind. And I know that I'm a sinful man. And if but with the grace of God, if not by the grace of God, if I fall under the just judgments of the law of God, I'm gone. There's no hope for me. And I know that, beloved. I have sinned, and I have sinned willfully. I was taught as a young man not to do certain things, and I've done it anyway. I did it anyway, knowing it was wrong, but I did it. Have you ever done anything wrong, beloved, and knew it was wrong? Well, you are under the judgments of God. And the only way that you'll ever see God in peace is to be washed in the blood of His Son, because He will not condone sin. He is of purer eyes than to look upon sin. And it must be paid for. And precious Jesus, His only Son, beloved, bore Him in His own holy body on the tree, that sinners might be brought again and be reconciled unto a holy and a just God. And they might come to Him and ask forgiveness for their daily sins, knowing that it's covered by the blood of Jesus. And so the Apostle Paul says that they were called of Jesus Christ, and they were called to be saints. And so then the preaching of the gospel is a call. In one of the places in one of the gospels, the Lord says that there are many called, but few are chosen. And that's pertaining to the gospel. The gospel has gone out mostly in all the world. But comparatively speaking, there are few that have obeyed the gospel. There are few that by the grace of God, that this faith and hope is abundant enough to where they'll turn their back upon the world. I mean, we have all these parables teaching us about how the kingdom of heaven is here in the earth. And he said it's like a man sowing seed. Some fall by the wayside and the birds come and eat it, and some fall in shallow ground. Stony ground, and it springs up, but it don't have no root, and the sun scorches it, and it loses it, and he describes it. He says that there are many that hear the gospel, and the devil comes snatches out of them, away from them, where it doesn't bear any fruit. And the stony grounds, he says, is some among briars and thorns, and choke out the word. He says that's riches and the care of this life. They choke out the word to where they're not profitable. And so we know that there are many of God's children in the world who hear the gospel, but these things choke it out and it is not profitable. But some falls into good ground and it bears fruit. And even there, some bears 30-fold and some 60, some 100. And so the kingdom of God, that's the way the kingdom of God is. The kingdom of God is also like a field where the Lord has sowed wheat that represents His children. And then the devil comes along and sows some tares in there. He said that's another picture of the kingdom. There's many different pictures given us by the parables of how the kingdom of God is, which harmonizes perfectly with all of His word and all of His doctrine. Not one bit of it will contradict it if it's rightly divided and put in its right place. And so then, those that are called by Jesus Christ, those that's heard the voice of the Son of God, those who have been called and quickened and translated from a dead state of sin to a newness of life in Jesus, those that have a circumcised heart, those that have... And He said that in that day I will give them a new law. I will write my law into their heart and put it in their mind. And beloved, when God comes and quickens you from a dead state of sin and circumcises your heart, you have a tender heart towards the love of God. And you believe it, and you can't help it to save your life. You believe it. As I've said before, when did you ever just sit down and decide that you was going to be a believer or an unbeliever? One day it dawned on me that I believe God. I mean, I believed it. Even my own words betrayed me sometimes when I was out in the world. My own tongue sometimes betrayed me. I'd say things that proved that I believed in God. And yet I was rebellious all along, many times. And if it's not the love of God that draws you to the mercy seat, beloved, you'll never come. you'll never come. But he draws you by cords of loving kindness, and he's standing there all day, he says, with open hand to his children. And he sends the gospel, and he's established the church, a place for you to rest, to worship, and to fellowship with him and with his children here in time. It's a place, beloved, it's like a garden that's hedged about. And the Satan, you know, told the Lord when about Job, he said, you got a hedge around him. He said, you let me at him, and he'll curse you to your face. He said, all right. He said, we'll see about that. So you just go at him. He said, you can't take his life now. And the devil went at him, and Job had it, didn't he? But he didn't. He said, though he slay me, I'll trust him. And to whom else shall we go, beloved? The apostle said, the Lord looked at his disciples and said, and will you also go away? And they said, to whom shall we go, Lord? Thy only has the words of life. And to whom else shall you go? Beloved, when you know the truth of your Savior, to where else will you go? There's nothing else we'll do, will it? There's nothing else we'll do. There's nothing else that's satisfied but the pure. Once you know the pure doctrine, the pure teaching of Christ, there's nothing else that will satisfy. Jesus, our Christ, is Lord. He has power over all flesh. And that's as many as the Father gives him will come to him. In regeneration, that's an equal equation, as Brother Powell says. Just as many as the Father gives the Son will hear his voice and live and be quickened and will come to him. And that don't mean every one of them is going to join the church and be baptized. And a lot of millions have lived and died before this dispensation ever come into existence. Many have lived and died since it's come into existence in the black continents of this earth and never heard of the gospel. But unto many, many places he has sent the gospel, then unto them, they are called to be saints. They are called to take up their cross and to follow him. And that's an unequal equation. The first equation is equal. As many as the Father give the Son shall come to him. But this other one, called to be saints. Many are called, but few are chosen. Circumstances and the providence and the grace of God are such in life that out of many that are called, on a few can be said to be chosen, that they wound up, you know, in obedience living to the gospel. And so, beloved, Apostle Paul said he wasn't ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And in the beginning, I said that most other people will read that to say that the gospel of God is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that will believe. But that's not what it says. They read that to say, if you will believe, then the gospel becomes the power of God and you'll be born again. But that's not what that scripture says. It says the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. He's already a believer in God. He don't know the truth as it is in Christ, and when he hears it and believes it, then it's the power of God in him. It's the wisdom of God, and it's the power of God. It moves the soul. It feeds the hungry soul that's quickened in Christ and hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are they that mourn, because they shall... Blessed are they that hunger and thirst, they shall be filled. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall receive comfort. And if you mourn because of sin, it's an evidence that you are conscious of your sinful nature. It's evidence that you have life. Apostle Paul said, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. That was written to the Ephesian church 2,000 years ago. And they were living people. When did they die? He said, ye hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. When did they die? They died in Adam, didn't they? Isn't that what the scripture said? When Adam died, we died. By one man sin into the world, and by sin death. And seeing that we all have sinned, death passeth upon all men. And beloved, many people don't want to believe that. They said, oh no, I don't want, but is that the doctrine of Christ? Many people don't want to believe that Adam was the first man. They want to go back and say he sprung from the ape, and that ape was almost a man before he sprang from it. That won't do, beloved. That won't do. Jesus has called his people to come out from such mess as that, science, false and so-called, and be a witness of his grace and his truth and his wonderful name. May God add his blessings to his precious word, and may it keep us in the way everlasting. And may the unity of the spirits and the bonds of peace flow in the church here at Lindsay Street and all the churches represented. And God's people in this dark hour, may we be a shining light to the truth of God and bear witness, not be ashamed of it, but I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God and salvation to everyone that believeth. We publish the doors of the church open if there's one or more here today that would like to follow their Lord in baptism and become a member of his local church. We'll give you that privilege while we assemble together. What shall we sing, brethren? Page 100.
The doors of the church are published open. As we say,
blessed be the
enjoy fellowship while we are eating. Brother Hilton says that the cold weather could finish our oil supply. We had to have the tanks filled, and insurance was due, a little less than $300, all up together. So if anybody wants to contribute to the expense of the building here, well, we certainly would appreciate that. And I have some appointments for Elder Piles next month. So I don't guess we need to announce him now, but he's going to be in Pine the 18th, which is on a Tuesday night. And he'll be in Mountain Creek, Liberty Hill, Union Grove, High Point, Meadow Creek, Hills Chapel, Parkview, the 25th, which will be again on Tuesday night. So he'll be with us on Tuesday night, the 18th, Parkview, the 25th. On any other announcements? If not, then I will. Brother Clyde, you know this mission.
Come to God, Heavenly Father, thank you, dear Lord, for another day. Had to meet together again this morning, listen to the precious word of God. But thank you, dear Lord, for the precious word of God. Thank you, dear Lord, for being with us, the best of truth, the precious word. Show us, dear Lord, how you came down to set the world on the die, and the death machine died, and the hell was true. Lord, we thank you for revealing to us the sovereign grace of God, the shortness of the right way, and help us to be identified with the people that believe in your sovereign grace and mercy. Lord, we love you, praise you, and show us the name of this day, and we pray to pass through.